Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Recently, the Queen of Britain in England died. She reigned for 70 years. And what we're going to cover today is the biblical origin of America and Britain and their prophetic destiny. And we will see that all of the things that are happening to us today on a daily basis were prophesied thousands of years ago. So think what a tragedy it is that the Catholics say you don't need the Old Testament, everything has been fulfilled, and likewise the Protestants with them, because that rejects the true knowledge of the nations of the world, and in particular, the end-time nations of America and Britain. Now, when we come to the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 7, we find this: surely the Lord God will do nothing. Now, I want you to think about that. That means he will do no thing. Unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, he has revealed it to them. It's recorded in the Bible. And likewise, when we come to the New Testament, Jesus revealed a lot of the prophecies. And in particularly, when we come to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, which then brings the fulfillment of the end time into crystal clear focus. But you see, we need to understand where America and Britain have come from, and yes, it's contained in the Bible. And few people today understand it. Years ago, many people understood it. Years ago, many people understood that the throne in England is the throne of ancient King David.
The entire history of the Davidic throne in the British Isles is linked to a mysterious, yet biblically significant, coronation stone called, by the Irish, the Stone of Destiny. Beginning with the Malaysian Zarahit Prince Ohi, every monarch of Ireland, Scotland, and Britain has been crowned on this very stone, including, recently, the deceased Queen Elizabeth II. This can hardly be a coincidence. The stone was delivered to the Isles by Jeremiah the prophet when he brought King Zedekiah's daughter, Tephi, to Ireland to marry into the Judah Zarahit royal line. The stone was subsequently relocated to Scotland, where it was used in the coronation of Scottish kings. Finally, it was moved in the year of our Lord 1296 to Westminster Abbey in London. There, King Edward I had a special coronation chair built around the stone. Every king or queen of Britain has since been crowned in that chair. Plans are already underway to ensure King Charles II will be sitting over the Stone of Destiny when the crown is placed on his head. Until the late 1950s, there was a plate attached to the chair near the stone with the inscription Jacob's Pillar Stone, an obvious reference to Genesis 28:18. In 1996, the stone was returned, by request, to Scotland, where it is presently stored in Edinburgh Castle. The coronation stone will be returned to Westminster Abbey upon the crowning of the next monarch of Great Britain, King Charles II.
And you might ask, How could that be? And how did that come about? Well, you need our book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny. So let's see how this started. Let's come to Genesis 12. Now we're looking at things that are pretty close to 4,000 years old. You see, because God looks at the long scheme of things, and here in the modern society, people are lucky if they have a 15-minute concentration period. And they've been trained in 12-minute segments by television. And there has been so much false history because the establishment is filled with liars and cheats in the government, in the education, and everything concerning in America and Britain today. And that was prophesied. So let's see where it began. And you're going to be very surprised, because it began with one called Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. So let's look at it. Now, this is many hundreds of years after the flood. And again, the earth went back and all the people to rejecting God and doing what they wanted to do. And we find in chapter 11 that God scattered all the nations and put them in their appointed places where he designated them to go. And he forced them to leave off their plan of building a great Tower of Babel to reach into the heavens. Now we have another great Tower of Babel that is reaching into the heavens today. It's called the Space Program. And the International Space Station, and men traveling to the moon, and they're saying, well, we'll get to Mars. Well, who knows? God knows, and he doesn't say that they will. So let's see some of the history going clear back about 4,000 years, and it goes to one man, Abram. Now, let's begin by coming to Genesis 12, and we'll begin in verse 1, and we will see that was later carried on with greater detail in other parts of the book of Genesis, and then expanded out in the book of the prophets, and then expanded out into the end time prophecies. Verse 1, chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. God rules in the nations of men constantly. And you need to understand that. And all the troubles that are happening in the world, and America, and in Britain, are because it is a disastrous thing to leave God and to reject his word. Now let's continue on with this. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now verse 3. And I will bless those that bless you and curse the one who curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families in the earth. Now that is a great inclusive statement, isn't it? However, understand this. That is strung out over thousands of years and also into the time after the return of Jesus Christ and setting up the kingdom of God. So you see, that's important to understand that in the Old Testament are the foundational stones of everything in the rest of the Bible. So then Abraham departed and did what he said. Now let's come to chapter 15, because here God makes a covenant. I want to talk a little bit about a covenant because many people do not understand what a covenant is. It is different than a last will and testimony or testimony. All right? In a last will and testimony, the testator, that is the one who makes out the will, can change it at any time he desires. However, a covenant is entirely different. Because a covenant, you make your pledge of what's going to happen, and then you pledge your own death if you do not fulfill it. So then, when God makes a covenant, he is going to perform it. And we will see later how this was coming through Abraham in two ways. Number one, through the lineage down to Christ being a descendant of David and Abraham. And when you go to the New Testament, the first verse says the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it gives the legal genealogy all the way down to Christ. So that's why it's important to have the Old Testament to know what God promised. So come to Genesis 15 and verse 1. And we'll see here a covenant that affects the entirety of the whole Bible and the nations of the earth. Down to the coming of Christ, the whole thousand-year reign of Christ, and the time after that, and on into eternity. So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" See, because it was legal to take a servant like that and adopt him as your son to be your heir if you had no children. And Abram said, "Behold," verse 3, "you have given no seed to me, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir." Now, when he said this to Abraham, he was 85 years old. So you see, God chooses to do things that to human beings seem impossible. And we know that he kept his word to Abraham. Now, to show the vastness and the scope and the magnitude of this promise coming to Abraham and his seed, who was his son, Isaac, and their descendants after that. So he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heavens and number the stars if you are able to count them." So God's plan goes way out into all eternity. And all of mankind is involved in that, and yet they don't know it. Because their minds have been blinded by one called Satan the devil, and their own selfishness and their own misapplied free moral agency to follow evil instead of following good. And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord. Now, this is a lesson for all of us. Do you believe God? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the truth of God? Do you understand what you have to do in your life to become a son or daughter of God now? Do you? Or have you been so poisoned by the false established Christianity of this world that you reject all things called Christian? Well, what you ought to do instead of rejecting it all, you ought to come and find what the truth is, and that's what we do here on Church at Home. That's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order, and we have all of the booklets and all of the things that we produce so people can learn, they can know, they can understand. That's why we're here. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Then God did something very profound. And this is a key chapter in understanding the entirety of the rest of the Bible, coming down to Christ and beyond, but also all the nations that would come from Abraham, because we're the end-time descendants of Abraham and the nations that God raised up through his offspring. So let's go on. So he said, Lord God, by what shall I know? I shall inherit it. And he said to him, take to me a heifer of 3 years, a she-goat of 3 years, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He took all of these to himself. Now then, they were not offered on an altar. They were not a burnt offering. They were not a sin offering. They were not a peace offering. This was a special covenant offering. And here's how the animals were sacrificed. They were cut down the middle of the spine and laid open, with the exception of the two birds. And a path was between those halves of the slaughtered, the heifer and the she-goat and the ram. Continuing now with what Abraham did, he took all these to himself, divided them in the middle, and laid each piece opposite the other, but he did not divide the birds. When the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And then here's what happened. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he didn't know what that meant. But now we know that was a prophetic participation in vision of the death of Jesus Christ, who would come from Abraham. Quite a thing. At about exactly the same time in the day that 3,500 years later, Jesus died. So you see how God works in long-term ways. And he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall sojourn in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and be afflicted 400 years. Then he says he will judge the nation in the fourth generation. He will bring them out. Now, verse 17. Here's what God did. And we will see. Abraham did not pass between the parts of the animals. Only God. Because God was making an unconditional covenant to Abraham. And in that covenant was the promise of the Messiah and promise, as we will see in a bit, of nations. Verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. That represented God walking down between those sacrificial animals. And the burning lamp was showing that God was walking, and the smoking furnace burned all the carcasses to ashes, to show the importance and the completion of the fulfilling of God's word to Abraham, and how that is carried out down through everything else in the Bible. And this also is a guarantee that God would come in the flesh and he himself would be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, beginning with the children of Judah and the children of Israel. So then, God made that covenant, and it was absolutely sure, and it was going to happen. Now, that was done when Abraham was 85 years old. Now, let's come to chapter 17. And this becomes a very important chapter to understand the physical nations. See, because it's not just down to Christ. It's to all the nations of the 12 tribes. And we are going to see that that is fantastic. Verse 1, Genesis 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. That's the same as the new covenant. That's the same that is required of Christians today. And our perfection comes through Jesus Christ. Here in this case, God now is going to reveal to him about the physical nations. And we have come from physical nations, haven't we? Don't we have a physical mother and a physical father? Yes, indeed. Then he said, verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Multiply exceedingly. Think of what that means. That's not just a few little people like they have over there in the area of Palestine called Israel today. That's one tribe, Judah, and some of the tribe of Aaron and Levi, and a few of the tribe of Benjamin. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. Many. And lo, there are lots of nations from Abraham. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you a father of many nations. Now, when God repeats it the second time, that firms it up even stronger than just saying it once. But saying it once is enough for God, because his word is true. And he cannot lie. And he will fulfill what he says. And he will keep his promises. All right, let's go on to see what they are here in this case. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now, what does that mean? That means it's still going on. Do you grasp that? To be God to you and to your seed after you. And I will give the land to you in which you are a sojourner, and your seed after you, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, and you shall keep my covenant. Now, getting down to the physical nations, he was to keep that, and that is in addition to the seed that became Christ. You and your seed after you and their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And Abraham was circumcised at that time also. And since there was blood shed in the covenant for God's part in Genesis 15. Now the blood of the circumcision confirms through Abraham the nations that will come from him. And there were more nations than the tribes of Israel. Now, I want you to write or email for this book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny, because you will be amazed when you read that and how we got to the place where we are on the earth today, down through the centuries. And God has kept his promise of the physical nation and the physical people. And it will also help you understand what's going on today and why we see all the troubles and difficulties that we are in. Now, we also have another book you can order, Why Christianity Has Failed in America. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.